Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wake up in the morning feeling like...
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
Hello, tryhards.
Hey, guys.
I love the fact that it feels really quiet, like we've just like started a phone call, not that we've been talking for the past hour previous to hitting record on the podcast.
Well, your demeanour has changed because as I can see, but the listeners can't, you have your pink microphone set up and in record, you leant forward and I boggled.
Because last
me.
Week you told me, no, the week before last, I did it with the microphone and then at the end I leant in and you went, oh, that sounds better after we'd recorded the whole pod.
I mean, I feel like it's going to be a little bit distracting every time you talk, you lean in as if you've got something secret to tell me. But it's nice
remember,
to see you, LJ.
I know that people are listening to this, but just a conversation between us. Do you remember when we first started using these microphones and the lights would flash into each other's eyes when we would sit in the living room doing it?
What do you mean? We were in a recording studio.
In our recording studio. Duh.
Anyway, how are you? Did you have a nice weekend?
Very quiet. I do think that everyone's just struggling a bit more at the moment. And I think I certainly am. Like, I'm finding it really hard. I feel like life isn't very normal for me. And I know it's the same for everyone, but I do think it's varying degrees. And I stayed at my parents for most of last week just because I'm struggling a bit. And I feel like, you know, we've all got to admit that. And please don't feel the need to like send me a message or call me if you're listening to this, because I'll be honest, and I know this sounds really awful and it is really good to talk, but equally, when you're not in a great place, it equally is like the worst thing when everyone tries to call and ring. She's like, I don't want to speak to anyone. I just want to
It is important to talk. And I suppose the difference for you is that people may have thought that you're at home on your own, yeah. Whereas actually you were at least with your parents, so you had that kind of human connection. I think
and had my dinner cooked for me every night and all my washing done.
I will say that we're recording this before Boris's big announcement that's coming out for probably more so England than the rest of our UK listeners, but it is before that has officially come to the nation to tell us what's happening, what the roadmap is. But yeah, I think you're definitely right. I think having spoken to a couple of people, it's just that unknown of how long this is going to go on for, and perhaps maybe that little bit more information tonight with regards to the roadmap that they're calling it will give people a little bit of light in terms of not just what's happening but also the ability to plan. I was speaking to Lucy, my brother's girlfriend, just a wonderful, wonderful woman. And she was telling me, she was telling me that she is just an absolute planner and she just has found it really difficult because she can't plan for anything. So hopefully the news this evening will be good news.
Well, one thing we planned for, we've actually booked a little holiday home in Devon for a week in June.
The Joneses.
Yeah, Sheldon, which is near Tynmouth.
That's down the south coast.
It is south coast, yeah. So I will be stopping in Darts Farm on my way down there. My favourite place in the UK.
And you will be stopping somewhere else. Otherwise you'll get a very much frowned upon opinion from Big Sue.
But then we won't go past Big Sue. But I thought we could probably say to Big Sue, do you want to bring Clover and meet us for a dog walk?
Yeah, that's a different. Yeah.
You've got yourself out of it. Joe's been texting my mum this week anyway about other stuff. We won't go into that. But maybe, you know, the Waterman brother can get my mum on a surfboard or something as well. So, you know.
There you go.
That's my pause for positivity. Have you got one?
Actually, building on what you said last week, your kind of 5 minutes is better than no minutes. I know that you've actually done 5K a day. Is that right?
Yeah.
So 5K is better than no K.
Yeah.
But today, just an absolutely beautiful day. And we were on the dog walk with Koya and I just stopped and faced the sunshine like a little lizard, closed my eyes and just enjoyed the warmth from the sun. And sounds really silly, but I think actually how many times, you know, do we go out in the sun and be like, oh my god, it's amazing, but we're still moving around and we're not just stop and listening to the birds and just and some of the lorries that are driving past the carriageway and super relaxing. But you know, I don't know, it was just a moment where I was able to
not good for your cold sores though, I will say. So
feel a bit, just, I don't know, we're always so busy. Like some people are busy, some people are not, and we're busy, and I've been busy, and when we're busy we just don't ever feel like you've got control, because it's like, I've got to do that, I've got to do that. And even just taking a minute, it just gave me a little bit of control over kind of how I feel
at the moment. It's quite easy to be like busy doing nothing, as weird as that sounds. Like even if like I didn't have a day's work last week, and it's very easy to like not get around to doing things. Like I had some invoicing I needed to do, I just didn't do it, because it's quite easy at the moment, I think, to kind of get kind of in on yourself. And maybe taking, you know, a walk gives you 5 minutes to clear your head and think, no, I need to get that done, I'll do that when I go back in, or kind of what things do I need to sort out this week in my life. And
I've got a good tip actually that I've been reading up about different bits and pieces for my level 4 around comfort zone and why we stay in there, the barriers to maybe leaving. And there was some advice about how you can like leave your comfort zone and do things that you've been procrastinating over for ages, or you know, those things, the frogs we've spoken about, the leap from to do list.
Tell people about the frogs all the time.
And actually it was write a list of things that you procrastinate over that you haven't got done. So instead of doing, because every time I do a to-do list, you basically start with things that you might like to do, things that you enjoy doing, things that be quick. You might put the things that you always want, you need to do that you haven't done.
Yeah. I always put but things actually, I've already just, done so I can tick something off straight away.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, just do a fresh list of things that you procrastinate over, and just whatever you do by the end of that day, do one of them, because it's just like the frogs. If you get rid of one frog, you get loads of energy. So that's my top tip, is actually, and you'll see how many things that there are on there that are actually taking up more energy from not doing them than they are if you do. Yeah,
that's a good one. I like that a lot. I've got a top
tip. Do you have one?
Yeah, basically. So my top tip this week is, do not send a text, an email, a message until you are absolutely sure that you've got something right. So as I said, I stayed at my mum and dad's this week. And this morning, my dad was out working very early, and I was in the house with my mum, and she came upstairs and she was like, oh no, what have I done? And I was like, what have you done? And she held up a pair of my dad's leisure trousers. And
leisure wear,
yeah, held them up against her, and they basically came to about halfway down her shins, and we were like, oh no, you've shrunk them, like, oh, you know, lol, ha. So I took a photo of it, and she was like, oh, put it on the family WhatsApp group. So did that, like nobody responded. My mum and I were still in the house, like getting ready to go and walk the dogs. It kind of occurred to me that like my dad's quite short. So eventually I managed to persuade my mum to go and get another pair of my dad's leisure trousers that she's had to like take up, and she hasn't shrunk them at all, they're just that short. But we sent a video like literally rinsing my dad, like, oh mum, shrunk your trousers. No, that's how long they are.
Oh, bless him and his little legs.
Can you undelete that? Can you like get rid of it? I'm like, no, mum. And he's watched it. So she's like, what I'm going to say is I'm going to pretend that I've unshrunk them by soaking them in fabric conditioner and then just not hold them up against me again so he can't see how much shorter his legs are than mine. But
can I just ask, is that why you are now at home? So one, you're not going to be part of that angry discussion. Two, that's absolutely amazing. But I feel his pain, right? So I didn't ever realise that I have quite short shins. It's not something that you measure. It's not something that you measure, not something that you necessarily know about yourself until you stand in a line with people. And obviously as an international rugby player, we stand in a line and singing the anthems and cameras scan you. And I'd always wondered why, when I put the socks on from England that had England written down the back, that whenever I folded them to the fit my legs, it said land, right, not England. And it's basically because my knees were lower than everyone else's because I'm little anyway.
You've got a long body though. You've got a long torso. I've known this about you from, you know, the very beginnings of our
long body, short shins.
Yeah. Short shins. So I'll tell you what, if we ever got washed up on a desert island and I was going to eat you, I wouldn't be making a kind of shin-based
meal. I mean, they're probably better for toothpicks, to be honest, the amount of meat on them at the moment. Anyway, should we talk about some of the rugby that's been happening?
Yeah, do you know what? I haven't watched much rugby this weekend, I'll be perfectly honest. But we did have two rescheduled games in the Premier 15s. Quins were desperately looking for a win after a couple of losses on the bounce, and they hosted Wasps. Did you watch that one? Tell me what happened.
I watched it back this morning, actually, because I was with O2 at the weekend. I on Saturday was down at Twickenham, which was super cool, actually, to watch the boys train. They went full on hammer and tong at each other. And I was like watching. And actually, as much as those games, you're like, oh, I'm going to like feeling a bit sore from training. It's a game at Twickenham, so you get like, I remember, and also Eddie did 13v13, which is an absolute dream. And some of the boys, don't know if they would have been shown online, but got completely schooled with the sidesteps because there was just so much space and obviously different organisation defensively. Anthony Watson, who Dylan Hartley and Ugo were like ripping into because they basically were like, he's definitely not going to train having scored two tries the week, like last week, he's in like, his hamstrings will be tight. He came out and honestly, it was like he had rocket shoes. He was really unbelievable. Yeah, he was class. Anyway, meant that I couldn't watch the game. I tried to keep in touch, like on it over social media, but really good game. And I think fair play to Quins for holding on. Like Wasps threw absolutely everything in the kitchen and sink at them. Their defence was good. Got a little bit punished at the breakdown. Quite a few not rolling away in the tackle area to double hitting, but falling, one of them was falling the wrong side. And then also getting a little bit isolated because they were kind of making these half breaks that then get you in behind, but actually disjoint you from your support.
Yeah.
And fair play to Shauna Brown. She was like an absolute limpet over the ball. I do find it strange having what probably 90% of the rugby I watch, maybe more, is men's, which is still the normal laws because the women's Premier 15s is still on there.
Yeah.
If there's a knock on or a forward pass, it's a tap rather than a scrum to minimize contact time.
Yeah.
Which is a bit strange, but obviously, yeah. And actually, impressive from Langi Tuima, the Red Rose Santi who plays for Quins. She stepped up and took it wasn't 78 minutes because it's not 80 minutes, it's like 68 minutes because they play 35 minutes each way. Yeah. 68 minute penalty. They were trailing, what was it, 17-19, and they're strong in catch and drive, and like obviously we see lots of tap and goes. And actually in an interview, player of the match was Amy Kakame, and she said all of us were like tap and go, kick to line out. And Abby Ward, who's captain because Rach was injured, or is injured, basically said, Langi, I want you to take the points. And so as captain, which you don't really often see in the women's game because of the lack of confidence around taking the points potentially, Langi stepped up and took it and nudged it. Which is heartbreak for Wasps, because I can't remember the last time we beat Quins. I didn't ever beat them when I played in the Wasp shirt. To lose 2019 is brutal, but all credit to them, like the amount of effort and intensity they brought to the game was awesome and shows how good they can be. It's just seeing it all the way through.
They could have another crack at them this season, because the top four is pretty congested at the moment, but Wasps have got a game in hand, and that's the DMP game, I think, which they're playing on April 3rd. So with no disrespect to DMP, you'd hope that Wasps would come away from that with all match points available, which would put them, as it stands, kind of above Loughborough. They're really close at the moment. It's far more congested, that kind of 2-3-4, than it has been over the past couple of seasons, which is exciting. The other game on the weekend was DMP Sharks, and Jodie Ansley was on the field for Sale, which they hyped up on social media beforehand, which I love. I love seeing these kind of little trails of video this season of like, look who we've got, look who's going to come and star for us this weekend. And it looks like she did from that scoreline.
Yeah, and rightly so. You know, she's a Sevens international up and coming star. It's her first game for them. I think it's brilliant, the investment, and shows that when you partner, like it, when you collaborate men's and women's teams, actually it isn't just about the rugby. It's all of the off-field collaboration and support that you can get.
Isn't it?
Yeah, massively. And that's where you can see the different, the value of resource that different clubs get because of the professionalism in terms of, you've got people that are paid to do marketing, paid to do social media engagement, paid to do PR, like all of those things. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think long term for that league, we're going to end up with every team in the Premier 15s has to mirror a man's team for that reason? Because we can see the resource that goes into Exeter, Sale as newbies, and how that, you know, Gloucester get some help. I know that Wasps is difficult because the geographical distance, but we know that Quins and Saris fly because of the backroom stuff there. Do you think there's going to be a necessity, because it means that teams like DMP and maybe to some extent Loughborough get left behind a little bit because they don't have that at their disposal?
I think DMP definitely, and actually seeing a massive shift in support, like Sale Exeter is a really good example of how much money they've put into it. And I actually haven't seen anything negative about the fact that Sandy Park is completely ripped up. It is absolutely bogging at the moment, but they're still allowing the women to play on it. It's like before, it'd be like, oh my God, no one's going to go on it. You're not allowed to step on it unless you're like one of the male players. As a side note, I think that where Loughborough really hold their own is actually their resource, because they are such an elite centre of sport. So they have an incredible facility because it's where the England Institute of Sport is based, out of one of the main hubs nationally. You've got a lot of national sports based there. So
Is Loughborough near Leicester geographically? I don't know the geography of England very well. So would there be like space for them to kind of even look at a partnership opportunity in terms of a men's premiership and a Premier 15s kind of link up?
Yeah, I mean, my knowledge of that, of the M1 isn't great, but
I didn't even know it was on the M1. But, so
well, it's that kind of corridor, I think.
Derby as well.
I think it's probably the closest Premiership club. I don't think Leicester is more so than Northampton. I should know that because I've visited both of them.
I've been to all of those places. I don't know where they are.
Yeah, it's the problem with them. Google Maps, isn't it? It just tells you rather than having to actually look them up. Yeah. You know what?
Hey, you're good at maths and I'm good at English, and we don't need to be good at geography. So there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in terms of alignment with men's clubs, yes, potentially, but I don't think Loughborough miss out because actually they gain from a huge amount from being based at the university. There's a lot of international sport, you know, England cricket are based there. There are lots of other athletes and elite sports that run out of Loughborough. It's just from a rugby recognition, PR marketing machine that can align brands I think that that's where you get the benefit.
So DNP were nilled by Sale on the weekend, and the difficult thing now is that they sit basement bottom of the league with no match points and one try in 10 games.
Oh.
Yes. Horrible stats. It really is horrible.
I've not watched any of their games either. I think I find it a bit difficult. I don't know what's happening up there. Obviously, I've heard and read about what happened with Tamara Taylor, the fact that they didn't even select her, that, you know, she wasn't part of that. They've struggled for a number of years and have been kept, in my opinion, from someone outside of the club. It might not be the case, but what I've seen is Tamara and Katie Dane and McLean and the handful of George Roberts, handful of England players have basically kept it afloat because they were so determined that they wanted to play for a Northern team and then played in the Northeast. And obviously Katie's moved across to Manchester, so she's at Sale, and then Tamara wasn't actually picked, so has gone to Saracens, and was supposed to be, I think, more of a coach than a player, but she's actually playing every week and doing a great job. And I don't know. We want rugby to be nationally spread. You want people to be able to make choices to go to places like Leeds University, which is a great university, it's a great hub, it's got good women's support, rugby support. But this, those stats are appalling.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested to know what's happening with, like, internally from an RFU perspective to try and bring them up, because
the reality is there's no relegation promotion in this league. We're locked in, having had the reviews last year and obviously teams exiting the league and new teams joining. So DNP aren't going anywhere. So something obviously has to happen now to help them out.
Be interesting. I think they've got some big choices. The RFU, I think, are in the process from a few things that I've heard on Along the Grapevine, and they need to be in the process of deciding what's happening next season with, in particular, the salary cap.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that pretty much every single club will be over it. Some of them are absolutely spanking it this year because it was introduced. They could justify an overspend, but obviously it is absolutely ridiculous to think you can have a 40 player squad on a £60,000 salary cap. And if people are willing to spend the money, why are we telling them that they can't? Absolutely. So how they're reviewing that, what they're doing with that, who they've got in that process, I don't know. But I think as part of that, could there be a shift around of some players, and how would the RFU then support somebody and some of the better players to potentially move up north, because then they can bolster it? Because fundamentally, the reason why Saracens and Quins have been ahead of the game for all of these years is because of the recruitment of international players.
Yeah.
That came from money.
To like the regionalisation of rugby in Wales in 2003. And the whole point of that was that central contracts would mean that you couldn't have two open sides who were both in the running to play for Wales at the same region, and kind of spreading out so that each of those teams had as much success or chance of success as possible. So
there are rules like that in place. So every England player has to be have like certain amount of access to their first choice playing position in terms of minutes. And there's like, there are rules in place to make that happen and to make sure, and why we saw some players move within this process. I think there was more teams in the market. You know, you had Sale and you had Exeter, and actually two great places to live, so people wanted to move, and some of the Southwest girls ventured back down to the Southwest because they were super proud of being able to play for Exeter, and also the same with Sale.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You know, you meant interesting. You mentioned about Jodie Ansley. I want to give her a little shout out actually, because she can. I think in a little, she actually embarrassed me a little bit, I'm giving her a shout out about, mainly because. So Vicky McQueen, ex-England player, was my roommate. We used to call her Dollface. She's absolutely amazing. Set up Diddy Rugby, and she told me the other day. It's like over 20, maybe 30 different franchises. So little tiddlies to come around and learn about rugby. It's absolutely amazing. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff. Anyway, they've been doing these lockdown sessions, and she was like, "Oh, Nolly, you know, can you come and do a Facebook Live?" And I was like, I was really nervous. I was like, "Yeah, no problem. Like, I can do it." Heather does it. So it's like, do a little bit of activity and then do a story time. And Heather does it. And Heather was amazing, like absolutely amazing. And then she got other people to do it. So Mo had done one. There was somebody else. Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, and Jodie. And Jodie was the one before me. Anyway, so she sent them to me. She's like, this is the type of thing that I want you to do. And it was when we were packing up the house. So it was like, everything was everywhere. So I ended up doing it in this tiny little space in our dining room. Anyway, back to Jodie. Jodie absolutely smashed hers. She was unbelievable. Really? Her coaching, her tone. And then for story time, she was like, and now we're going to go upstairs to where we read stories. And I was like, where is she going? And she went into this room, and it had been her birthday. So she had the room was full of balloons, and she'd made, there was all this like white stuff and sparkly lights. And she was like, and this is the cloud where we're going to read the story. Oh. And read the story on the cloud. And it was just unbelievable. And then I was like, great, I'm going to do mine from my dining room and then sit awkwardly next to the screen because there's nowhere else to go.
Wow.
It was brilliant fun. And I've just spoken to Vicky the last couple of days, and she said they had over 30,000 people engaged during half term in the Diddy Rugby.
That's amazing.
Work, which I'm just so proud of for her, because she's incredibly passionate. She's a great rugby player and is behind something that is a huge franchise, and it's also bringing rugby to so many people. But yeah, just the concept. And what's amazing is that she's like, gets all of the ex and current England players to like just go in and deliver for her.
Yeah, so obviously Tom May has been doing some as well, hasn't he? I think that he's been doing some, yeah, Diddy Rugby, so he's been roped in. And yeah,
I just think it's brilliant, just from a rugby perspective. Massive shout out to her, but also fair play, Jodie. You absolutely. And she apparently was the first one. She's an ambassador, and she just absolutely smashed it. So well done.
Well done, Jodie. Before we move on to Madrid Sevens that took place over the weekend.
How cool.
But before we go for that, staying on a Spanish theme, Latina theme. I don't think that is Spanish. There was a Rugby World Cup qualifier. Spain absolutely hammered Russia. So yes, with Spanish girls, but also I've got no idea like how any of this is working now with qualification. Can I just stand where the Europeans are?
Can you point out what you did think the result was from though?
I thought it was from the sevens. I was like, Russia won the tournament, but Spain hammered Russia. And then I put my glasses on and reread it. And okay. So I've given away the punchline. Yeah. Madrid Sevens, Russia, the Russian girls won the Madrid Sevens. Great to see the American girls over here for a few days. That's a long way to come from San Diego to Madrid. But fair play to them. They look like they absolutely loved it. Loved.
I'll tell you what.
Corbs hyping up his fiance on Twitter. That was my highlight.
How big excited. Yeah, you know what? To take the ball midair, transfer it. So she did a ball transfer with her hands and get it to whoever was behind her, and then they shifted it and scored. It's unbelievable.
And then Chris Thomas scores in the corner, doesn't she?
Yeah. although I think it was against Poland, and the poor Polish girl that went up against her, might maybe say went up to get the ball, like got taken out by Abby's like leaping Air Jordan. And then as Abby landed, she basically sat on her.
And also in the clip, Abby looks like she's about 9 foot tall. It's got a touch of like Gulliver's Travels about it. So, but you know what? I know it's like, I hate that, you know, luckily we're, you know, quite fortunate that we never hear Abby described as Corbs's fiance in any kind of like rhetoric. We now hear Corbs described as Abby Gustaitis's fiance, but I loved the fact that it kind of brought the women's sevens to a different audience over the weekend, because Corbs hyping Abby up on social media meant that this test try scoring lion, who's got a huge rugby audience of men who probably wouldn't have watched the Madrid sevens, all had their eyes on it. And I just saw so much traffic around that clip and people like, oh my God, this is flames. And I saw one guy saying, oh, all weekend I've wanted to be able to use this word about rugby and haven't been able to, but that is filthy. And I was just like, yeah, I love that. Like, that's the kind of traffic we need. And actually, guys, like, follow some more like women's rugby accounts and follow accounts that are going to be tweeting clips out and share it with, you know, your rugby friends and family, because like, let's grow the game like that. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great to see.
Yeah. And well, one, he's always going to hype her because she's amazing, hot,
yeah,
and
punch in there. We love you, Corbs, yeah, exactly. You're punching,
yeah, he knows it. There was a huge tackle. I shared it on my story, from Nicole Heaveland, absolutely slotted someone. If you're gonna run out the line, we always say catch the player with the ball. She absolutely hammered her. And funny, talking about social media accounts, definitely give her a follow. Like, she's really funny. Her and Ilona Marr were in, obviously in isolation together. They're roommates.
They're always roommates, yeah.
Yeah, and they were in, I don't know if it was like doing TikTok, so I don't use TikTok, but it came onto Instagram. And they did this like series of like wrestle moves, which I thought was really, really funny. Like, Ilona was just like literally like tombstoning Nicole and like doing all these things, like smashing
the face. Because like, Nicole clearly thinks that she can hold her own. Nicole, much like you, has got two brothers. And she clearly thinks that she can hold her own. And Ilona just ends her. I love it as well, because they're like the weirdest roomies. Like, they room all the time. And Nicole had done a story the other day about how she got into fly fishing, whereas Ilona's story is about what shade of lipstick that she's going to wear this week for the tournament. And they're just like polar opposites, chalk and cheese, but always roomies. Love them. I love all the American girls. And you know what? We have to give a shout out, because I know that Ilona Marr has started a podcast herself. So yes the girls,
with Naya Tapper.
With Naya Tapper, the American speedster. So yeah, like, well done, girls. Like, love to see it. I don't think that's going to be a huge amount of rugby chat, if I'm perfectly honest with those two. They are chatty Cathys.
I think having looked at it, I haven't had a listen yet, but I think it's more about like life as elite athletes and some of the challenges that they face and some of
being
the
Leos
that...
They're both Leos.
Oh, are they?
What are you, Capricorn?
So I'm on the cusp, so I am Capricorn Aquarian.
Oh, are you?
So I do, yeah, which is why it probably describes why I am like I am. But
so confused.
Yeah, no,
I'm
it's
Aries,
interesting actually.
Textbook Aries.
I don't know. I don't know what any of it means actually, to be fair. But just talking about the sevens, it was just so awesome to see live tournament play.
Oh, wasn't it?
And I messed a couple of girls and they just said like it was just amazing to have a run round. I think one thing was sad was that England, Team GB, weren't involved. It was really disappointing considering it's literally just over the water. It's just there, just touching distance.
And if America can make it over there, that was a shame.
Another thing that was super cool was the fact that Poland were there and actually held their own. They did all right, played some good rugby. And Kenya women, which I've never seen Kenya women play. Some good stuff, actually. I was impressed, their basic skills. And it just got me thinking about how, you know, when I was on the World Series, which was back in 2016, there was massive difference between probably top six and bottom six in terms of the tournament. And now, you know, you've got teams that aren't even at the moment even close to the World Series because of where they need to go through to qualify. But yeah, playing some fantastic rugby, the skill level to shift the ball. And this isn't just, it's the ability to move the ball that impresses me. It's the ability to manage the contact area, because these are women that haven't necessarily grown up with the game. So they're learning at a very, very fast rate. So for them, Kenya in particular, was really cool to see them. saw a lot of new young Spanish players. One girl absolutely slotted one of the French players, I think. I'm not quite sure at the game. I was like, oh, like mad. And then Poland, which always makes me smile because Rachel Burford is half Polish. So I always think, and she speaks Spanish. So I'm like, and she was cheering them on. So I was like, is Rachel going to go play for Poland? Maybe she should coach
Polish.
Them. Yeah, well, she speaks part. Her mum speaks is fully Polish. We went on a little girls holiday. I'll use our tour name. So it's me, Rach, Miguela, and Colin, which is Michaela Staniford, Claire Allen, Rachel Burford, and myself. We stayed in Krakow, and it was amazing. And Rachel was telling us all of this Polish, and Cześć, I think, is like thanks or hello. No, I think it's hello. But it was the only word I knew. So every time, like the guy got the taxi, put my bag in the taxi, and I was like, cheers. She was like, cheers. She's already said it to me when you arrived.
Mate, I'm not going to tell people listening to this podcast what you think thank you is in Japanese. So I'm not surprised that your Polish isn't really up to scratch either. There was some sad news from the Madrid Sevens on the weekend, though. In the men's tournament, Perry Baker, the American speedster, the speed stick, in fact, broke his leg. So
yeah,
we are.
And actually, it was just really unfortunate.
Oh, I haven't seen it, but
yeah, it was. He just got tackled from behind, and when you get tackled from behind, your feet tend to get caught underneath, and he obviously just got caught underneath. And I don't know whether it was tib, fib, ankle. The Spanish translation said broken ankle, but I don't. No, Google Translate on my okay. Twitter. Help me.
One thing yeah. I will say is he's got very long shins. Your short shins. Long shins. So it's probably easier to break those legs because he has got very long legs. The first ever World 7 Series event I did, I stayed in the men's hotel, not in the women's, which obviously thereafter I always did. But I stayed in the men's hotel in Dubai and I was on the same floor as the American boys. And he offered to escort me to breakfast in the morning. He could like see that I worked for 7870 and the 7870 boys were all quite friendly with them. And he was like, good morning, miss. Can I escort you to breakfast? I was like, absolutely not. Bugger off. But I did like being on their floor because their conditioner left an ice box of Gatorades out in the hallway of an evening. So if I ended up having a couple too many shrubs with the boys, I just pick a little Gatorade up on my way back to my room. I'm sure they weren't counting them. If they were, sorry. But yeah, that may in fact rule him out of the Olympics. Who knows at this stage if it does.
Well, 150 at the time. I think the tweet said it was 151 days from maybe the men. Yeah, which is doable for a broken leg, yep. But it just depends. So fingers crossed and sending our healing thoughts to Madrid or into the air where they're flying home.
Big weekend of rugby this weekend. The big one, the wooden spoon match between Ireland and Italy.
You know what? It's mad, isn't it? It's like literally mad how it. No, but it's mad how the Six Nations has ended up.
Wales playing two. It's like some sort of farcical, like comedy caper. Like Wayne Pivac's some kind of like kooky coach, and they keep winning against the odds, and like. Yeah, there could be a movie, or at least an S4C sitcom out of it. And what is your prediction for Saturday evening in Cardiff?
I don't know, like something weird will happen and the roof will collapse or something. I don't know. I'm going to say an England win, ooh. But that's only if they, and I said this on Scrum 5, it's only if they get their basics right. You know, their catch pass basics have been so bad, whether they're overrunning, whether it's a pass, you know, putting it along the floor. Obviously got a little insight into them training at the weekend. And when they fizz, they absolutely were electric. Yeah. And I think Johnny May and Lewis Rees-Sammet are going to cancel each other out. I think they'll kind of do maybe a little tally, maybe a couple of shots each. Anthony Watson, though, I think is the one. He's just on such good form. And as I say, when I saw the boys move the ball and it was out in front, they didn't break stride. They were absolutely brilliant. But that saying that, you know what, Wales are dogged and they're in a place where they've simply refused to lose, haven't they? Yeah. You know, and maybe it's
I do worry that
like,
it could be like Head says this is like a bridge too far after two plucky lucky wins. Heart says Felipe Faletau was man of the match for Bath on the weekend, and he's going to take that into the Wales game. And George,
he was
North
unbelievable.
Will start, yeah, he was. George North will score a late winner on his 100th cap to seal the game. And Wales will march on to a Grand Slam decider in Paris, providing
you know
that the French players don't all have COVID by then.
The biggest, yeah, that's the other thing, isn't it? It's like everyone's yeah. like, yeah, we can't wait to see France play. They're all out with COVID.
Yeah, Olivon's got it now as well. My
yeah,
beloved,
there's another further five.
Olivon.
I think the biggest thing is the selection for Wales. I think it's going to be fascinating yeah. to see how the backs end up. I don't necessarily think there's too many questions over too many players in the forwards, but the backs is the interesting one.
Well, it's the first game as well that he's going to have a full back line to pick from. So Fox is fit. Now, he's, you know, on his day, the best 13 in the world. But then North's been in good form. So does he come back in at 13? Josh Adams' ban is up. You've got Lewis Rees-Saggett, George North, Liam Williams, Lee Halfpenny and Josh Adams to fill three.
Is Lee Halfpenny available? Because he had a really bad knock, didn't he? Because apparently he failed his second HIA before the weekend.
And yeah, then... it was a 2-week break, wasn't it?
So we yeah, but play. As in just failed it this weekend. So I don't know. You
Ooh,
know
I
what?
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting. I would personally, the only thing, that the back three I would go with is
Silence on the podcast. People really enjoy that.
Josh Adams.
Yeah.
At 11. Lewis Rees-Saggett at 14. And Liam Williams at 15.
I go Liam Williams at fullback because he's the bomb diffuser.
And he's just like tough. I just think he's a fantastic rugby player. Yeah. And he's a real settler. I think, you know, Lee Halfpenny is brilliant tactically. But doesn't necessarily, and you know, he puts his body out there, and obviously his goal kicking is what keeps him there and so important. But there's just a different edge to Liam Williams that he has, and he knows Owen Farrell through and through. He played yeah. with him at club. He's read his kicks however many times. Do you know what I mean? So there's this like whole part of that there that I, but then saying that, Finn Russell found gaps in behind Liam Williams when Lee Harvey went off, so yeah, it'd be interesting. I think
sorry, I'm just trying to find out who the referee is, because I think that could be an interesting, I basically just really hope that isn't what we talk about at the end of the game, because I feel like that's what we've talked about over the past few games, decisions and stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, I think Brace, there was so. There was five red cards, wasn't there? The bar, yeah, and I agree with all of them. I think all of the refereeing, all of the explanations was good. I think there could have been a couple more. There was a couple of extra shots. I think it was, I can't remember the player, but it was on Dom Brandt in the Quins. Quins were unbelievable, and also at times. God, I'm going to get confused with all the games. But yeah, agree with all the red cards. I just feel like on that, just because I don't want it, it's been chatted to it, death and exhaustion.
Yeah.
It's lazy, a lot of the behaviour that's creating the red cards. And yeah. I think as much as people say, there was a tweet, I don't know, it was like Andy Good or someone was saying, oh, you know, people should learn from the mistakes. They won't learn on the weekend. What they'll learn is in the week when yeah. their coaches sit down and say, if you do this, and the fear will start to be brought in. But also...
But you know what? That's interesting. That feeds into the Pete O'Mahony's ban compared to... Who got the red card? Not Sander
Ferguson. Yeah, Ferguson.
For Scotland. And people like, oh, his ban's longer. The whole point is that Pete O'Mahony had done it a week earlier. So you're all meant to learn from what Pete O'Mahony did. And that's where people have a disconnect between the length of these bans. So Pete O'Mahony gets a ban for what he's done. It now shouldn't be that someone repeats the same incident the week after, even if it's not as bad, you've seen that somebody's done it, they've got a red card, and this is the ban they've been dealt. If you do it, you're going to get banned for longer. And I saw a few tweets discussing that, and that kind of common sense approach, I think, is missing a little bit from, oh, the game's gone soft. People don't seem to realise the whole point of the judicial process.
But the game's gone soft bit doesn't make sense, because the reason why people are having to run and accelerate and make bad choices is because, one, the jackler is very, very quick and athletic and getting on the ball. But two, because the huge size of the players now, to move them, you have to accelerate into them from a distance. You know, you can't just go in and just move them nicely. And actually, if you get through that a split second, you make bad decisions, and therefore you end up using a technique that isn't in the law book. And that's where we also see the crocodile roll. Again, I remember practicing that. We called them a squash and roll, because you basically hit them on the back. And actually, I completely agree that that shouldn't be allowed.
No.
But the game hasn't gone soft. The game has gone, it's gone so physical that there's techniques that are being used. And kind of the additional part to what I was saying, in that I think we will see that there's lazy errors in the Premiership over the weekend with tacklers. And basically, there's a lot of people that, again, because the size of ball carriers, they're double tackling. But where the red card is coming in is where the foot, when you double tackle, one has to go low, because naturally you've got to give space for the person to come in above them.
Yeah.
And you don't go high and then someone comes in low, because you end up getting smashed in the face or by your own players in the knees. So what the problem is when the first tackler goes in high, it gives no space for the second person. Yeah. So therefore the shoulder comes in at head height, because also the first tackle folds someone slightly, so they drop slightly. So from that perspective, the reason we're seeing more double hits, the reason we're seeing people accelerate into positions, because people are bigger, faster, stronger, and harder to move. And we're a collision sport where you've got to move people out of the way or stop them moving in your direction. And so that's where the steps in the coaches. And I think they're going to have to get to the drawing board and do some really good intensive work with players on technique to focus their minds. And I believe we do have those innovators in our game. Mm-hmm. Most coaches are ahead of the problem anyway, because they're pushing the boundaries until they need to make changes. But that, to me, is what needs to happen. And then the responsibility goes on the players to make sure they're reinforcing it, not just in a game at most points, but under fatigue, under huge amount of pressure, and when they're having to make split-second decisions, because rugby's a thinking game, and they're going to have to make those decisions and make those... And I'm sure they'll get it wrong again, but that's where I feel like what we can learn from this is actually our process of change.
Yeah.
Like, just the last thing, John Maxwell, who runs Women's Rugby Club, and the website
womensclubrugby.com. just so that everyone knows that Max is there with all the stats, fixtures, results, standings for Premier 15, Six Nations. He is trying to get more grassroots stuff on there as well. So if you want to submit stuff for your league, or you want to get your league included, get in touch with Max. But use it as a resource, use it as a tool to kind of find out things about the league, players, girls. If you are playing in the Premier 15s, you can sign up to it as a patron each month as well, and kind of get lots of info on that. Yeah, you can.
Another interesting fact about Max is that he is doing my website. So, and I know he's helped do a few other websites for the players.
No. What's going to be on your website?
Oh, James, my only
quizzes?
I was going to put a link to the price podcast, but I'm not going to bother now.
Oh, wow. And that's really going to harm this podcast because of all the promotional work that you do for it. So,
and no, I'm not going to do price comparison sites. I'm going to do shin length comparisons.
Who's got the longest shins in the league?
So if you have abnormally long or abnormally short shins, please get in touch with me via social media.
And that we could have a game on there, like spin the shin, and you could like have to guess whose shins are. I'll work on that. That's stuff to work on for next week. See you soon, guys.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.